So you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. You'll receive power. Power. I like that word, power. I like it, except when there's no power, which happened to us on Friday night. We're sitting in our house, and everything went black in the whole neighborhood. How many other people suffered that? And you kind of go like, what do you do now? Like, this is not fair. Like, and we tried to find the candles and tried to find something to light the candles. And then we just decided, let's go find some power somewhere. So we left and we drove around until we saw lights and street lights and stuff like that. And we went to the mall and we just need to have power. And so I just think that we need to be people who need spiritual power. And so I want to look at Romans chapter 8, verses 9 to 11. And we're going to take this apart a bit. It says in Romans 8, verse 9, you, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but are in the realm of the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God lives in you, and if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. There's only one way to the Father, and that's through the Son, Jesus Christ. If they don't have the Spirit of Christ inside of them, they don't belong to Him. Verse 10, it says, but if Christ is in you, then even though your body is subject to death because of sin, the Spirit gives life because of righteousness. Now, these might sound like lawyer's words to you, but I'll explain some of this. And this is a verse I really like. Verse 11, and if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, He who has raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because the Spirit who lives in you. You have that. Last Sunday, we talked on preparing for power, and we talked on the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and it was just an awesome service. Five people came to Jesus Christ, gave their lives to Christ, and 40-some people came for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And then another 40 people gathered around them and anointed them with oil and laid hands on them. And some of them began to speak in tongues right away. It was an awesome service because of the presence of God. We need to expect God to live inside of us. And if He lives inside of us, we should be more like Him. We should be in the situation when there's a circumstance that comes up. Jesus went about looking for things to do. He went around about doing good. That was His whole purpose in life. We should be people that realize that's what You want us to do, Jesus. We need to walk around. We need to find where we can bring life because we have life. Is that tough to do? It is tough to do. Because some days you don't feel very lifey. That's a word I've just made up right now. And I'm a doctor, and I can make words up if I want. No, I can't. But sometimes you just don't feel like that you have enough life in you, let alone to give anybody else life. And sometimes those circumstances and those feelings are very real. But you need to step back from that, and you need to start realizing that if He who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He will give life. That's what it says, quicken in the King James, but He will give life, life, L-I-F-E, life to your mortal bodies. Mortal bodies. Mortal means dead, mort. Nice, eh? Because of sin in our lives, we are destined. We are separated in our physical being. We're going to die. I know that's maybe a shock to some of you, but the reality is we all are going to die. But we can live now way past when we're going to die then. Do you understand what I'm saying? Like, we should have life. We should be just full of life. Not phony like, oh, hallelujah. I just feel so much life. We're broke and things are going bad and we're not having a good relationship in our family. But Jesus, I feel so good. Now, come on, cut that stuff. That's junk. Honestly, but you can live in a realm that says all that stuff is happening in my life, but I still have You. and I can lean on you, and you can guard my heart and my mind from all the things that the enemy takes power over. I struggle with some thoughts, and I struggle with some things in my life because of the life I led, the way I was raised, the type of career I had as a paramedic. There's intrusive thoughts that come into my mind. And to help me, I was told I need to take those captive, because that's what the scripture says, take those thoughts captive. We need to take those thoughts captive because we're alive. Doesn't mean I deny them, doesn't mean that my life changes and I don't have those memories. But I'll tell you what it does, it gives me life to say, Jesus, please help me not to have intrusive thoughts that destroy me. Help me to become healed in those areas of the brokenness and those areas that I need to be able to live life. So there's a lot of ifs, if you're following in this scripture. If. So here's what if means. On the condition that, providing that, provided that, presuming that, supposing that, assuming that, as long as, given that, in the event that. That's what if means. Isn't that interesting? If. And we have this opportunity to change that if to yes. And so what Paul is writing here to the Romans church is saying, if that same spirit lives in you, he will quicken your mortal body. He will quicken. He will give life. So let's look at some of these ifs. If indeed, or let's assume indeed that the Spirit of God lives in you. Let's assume. And let's assume anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to him. But assuming Christ is in you, then even though your body is subject to death because of sin, that's what it is. We live in a sin-fallen world. We're going to die from something. This is really not that encouraging of a subject, but the reality is that we're not going to live forever. My mom's 93, and she has siblings that live to 96 and 98, and we had people in our church in Parksville that lived to 100 years old. On her 99th birthday, the night before her 100th birthday, I said to her, you're going to be 100 tomorrow. And she goes, yeah, but it's so boring. Like, but she lived at home. She lived at home and played her guitar and cooked her own meals. And she was like about 65 pounds. And when she would walk down to the store and she had a little stroller like that, and she walked down there, and she had to put bricks in the bottom because when the wind came up, it would blow her and the little thing over. And so she had to put bricks in there so she had something to hold on to. But she was still alive. And we need to, but assume Christ lives in you. Even though this body, I don't know, she kept saying, she was about 94 when we went there, and she says, I don't think I'll be here next year. I don't think I'll be here next year. I don't think I'll be here. I don't know, Pastor Joseph, is she still alive? Is she on your board? was there Nellie. So she'd been there a long time. But assume that Christ is in you. Then even though your body is subject to death, don't live like that. Don't live like that. Live like you have Christ inside of you and the Holy Spirit that raised him from the dead. He was dead. It's proven he was dead. I haven't seen the movie Risen. Has anybody seen it? Is it good? It might be a little traumatic for me. I don't know whether I could. But the whole thing is, I heard a little clips that it's just like he disappeared, like. Is risen. We're living in that. That's the gift. That's what we did here in communion. We're living in that. So let's just flip over to Romans chapter 5. And this is how this whole death sentence came. Therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, Adam, and death through sin because of disobedience, in this way death came to all people because all sinned. So when asked for somebody to make a response to Jesus Christ and his salvation, it's not like, you know, I'm not that bad. Like, I'm a lot better than some of the people I know, some of the people I hang around with. Maybe I'm a stabilizing factor in their lives. Who knows? I'm not that bad. And you know what? You might not be that bad, but you have inherited eternal sin, original sin. And you are separated from God because Adam was disobedient. Adam and Eve were disobedient in the garden to God, and God separated them, didn't allow them to go back in there and eat of the tree of life so that they would be condemned forever, but made a provision through Jesus Christ for us to have that relationship again. Let's go on here. In Romans 8 again, it says, but assume Christ is in you, the Spirit gives life because of righteousness. There's something to be said of righteousness. It is being simply, it's in right standing with God, but it's holiness. And it says in Romans chapter 1, verse 17, it says that the just shall live by faith. And that's the righteousness of God. The just shall live by faith. And we have this opportunity to live in righteousness. Does that mean that you're just like, well, you never make any more mistakes, you never swear, you never do things wrong? That'd be great. How many have been successful at that? Let's see if there's any liars here. None of us can. We're still struggling with this. We're only going to be perfect when we get to heaven. That's the only time you're going to be perfect, but we can walk in his righteousness. We can walk in that place, and when we walk into the throne room of God, we're in his presence. And this morning, we were in his presence. Last Sunday morning, we're in his presence. And many of you were in your devotions, we're in his presence. And that's what righteousness is. We're allowed to be in his presence. So Romans 5 says this, consequently, just as one trespass resulted in the condemnation of all people, so also one righteous act resulted in the justification and life for all people. So we had the first Adam who separated us from God, and we have the second Adam. It actually says, Paul uses that metaphor, the second Adam in Corinthians, that he is the one who went to the cross for us and paid the price. Before it was a lamb that was killed and the blood was taken into the Holy of Holies and made for atonement for us. And then Jesus became the Lamb of God, and his blood was taken into the throne room of God, and God said, it is finished. We now, the veil, we talked about the veil being torn. And we're coming up to Easter right now, and we're going to celebrate that, and there's a joint service that's going to happen at the Mennonite Church. What's the name of it? Fraser View. Yeah, I always think of George Johnson in Fraser View, but it's not. So there's an alliance, and we'll have more information about that. We're going to join together. Because that was the day that the veil was torn in two. Verse 19 of that chapter says, for just as through the disobedience of one man there were many made sinners, so also through the obedience of the one man many were made righteous. Isn't that great? Like, we have this. This is not just a promise, this is a gift. Because in 2 Corinthians 5:21 it says, God made him who had no sin to become sin on our behalf, that we might become the righteousness of God. So Jesus had no sin. None of us can claim that. No one can claim that except Jesus, because he was born of a virgin. And that's significant. And so we have Jesus, who had no sin, became sin on our behalf. So all the things that you struggle with, all the things you struggled with, all of mankind, whatever, whoever, whatever's happened, is all what Jesus became. He became sin on our behalf. And when he died on the cross, it was all stuck to him, past, present, and future. And so you can go to the cross and you can say, Lord, I need to dump this off on you, because he's already paid for it. And then Romans 8:11 says, and assume that the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you. I don't know. I have a little card that says I'm ordained with the Pentecostal Assemblies of Canada. I'm a member of this church. That's got nothing to do with what I'm talking about here. Assume that the spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead lives in you. Assume that. And then walk in that accordingly. Walk in that fullness of the life of Christ, the power of Christ, the whole presence of God walking inside of you all the time. Because Paul goes on, Paul's beautifully shows us these things in 1 Corinthians 6. It says, Do you not know that your bodies are the temples of the Holy Spirit? That same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, so you are a temple. So this body's a temple. So what don't you do with the temple? We don't let pornography reign in this place. We don't like illicit sexual things. We don't like drugs happening in this place. This is set apart. This is the temple. Well, this is kind of the tabernacle. Now it's the church, and we change the names all the time. The reality is that you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. That's where he resides today. In the Old Testament, he would come and be amongst his people. In the New Testament, he comes and lives inside his people. Can you imagine that? Do you think that you're a good enough temple? I sometimes wonder about my temple value, because I don't really, you know, there's a lot of cleaning up that needs to go on my temple. There's a whole bunch of repairs that need to be done, and maybe some updating that needs to be done in my temple. But he does all of that if you'll let him. But he'll reside in you if you'll let him. And you will live a different life if you assume that the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you. If you assume that, you'll never be disappointed in your assumption. Because he says, whom you've received from God, you are not your own. You've been bought with a price. There's the price. We just reviewed our bill. Our sin bill. Past, present, and future. And what you can do is you can look at your account and you can see in bold letters, no payment due. Wouldn't that be nice if you looked at your Visa bill and said that? You know? It doesn't say that on your Visa bill, but it says it on your bill that was paid concerning your sin. So if we assume these things, then we need to understand he, the Spirit, who raised Christ from the dead, will give life to your mortal bodies. We can go through this world today. We can go through with a power inside of us that can take us through anything. And really, some of us in this congregation have suffered some severe things that without Christ in your life, you would not even imagine how you could get through them. You have family that you prayed for. You have children. You have friends who need that injection of the Holy Spirit. And without him, how can you do it? And we are the presence many times. We are his presence. the ministry of presence in people's lives because we have the Holy Spirit who raised Christ from the dead dwelling in us, and he gives life. Have you ever said something to somebody who is in need and you didn't even understand the words that were coming out of your mouth, and they go, thank you, because the Holy Spirit did it? Romans 6, verse 3, it says, or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ were baptized into his death? We therefore buried with him through baptism into death in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we may to live a new life. This is not the way we lived before. This is a brand new life. My life has changed so significantly. I live in a whole different realm. I'm not a pessimist. I'm an optimist. When you see three crosses on a hill, I don't know what you see, but I see three plus signs. That's what I see. I think there's addition to your life, not subtraction. I believe that all things are possible with God, and I don't know how he's going to do it, even though I try to help him all the time. I've got some good plans. And he doesn't always listen to my good plans. He always has something better. My good plans are good enough. His plans are better. And so I have this way to live that says, I believe that you can do it and you will do it. I just need to come along and find out what you're doing and join you in it. Because the Spirit of God lives inside of me and he confirms that I'm connected with him. And we need to have that. So I'm going to leave you with this. Romans chapter 8, verse 11. And if that same Spirit of him who raised Christ from the dead is living in you, he, the Spirit who raised Christ from the dead, will also give life to your mortal, destined for death bodies because of this Spirit who lives inside of you. Is that encouraging? That you have. So you need to prepare for power. You need to believe that you can walk in this realm. And whether it's to do with your finances, your relationships, your sicknesses, whatever the situation is, whatever it is, you can put a name to it, but that name is subject to the name of Jesus Christ, because every name, everything that's named, will bow its knee to him. And that's not just in the judgment day, but this is today. When you can walk in this, you can walk in new life. I want the team to come back if they would. That's new life. Walk in life. I would have loved to have been at the tomb when they rolled back the stone. I look in there and go, why did you even come? You ever thought of that? Like he said, I'm going to die and then I'm going to be raised again. So we're going down with a whole bunch. They had a little cart, I'm sure. It's 100 pounds of sticky stuff that they're going to embalm them with. They couldn't do it on the special day, so they're going to embalm them that day. We do that. We go to the tomb with embalming stuff for somebody who's dead. And the angel said, hey, what are you looking for him here? He's alive. He's alive. And then they had this burst of energy, like they ran back, full of life, full of life. That's where we need to be. We need to be full of life. And so I'm going to get you to stand. We're going to worship here for a few minutes. I want you to come. If you are not living that full life, if you need that full life inside of you, you need to have something just that the Spirit of God touch you in this area. I want you to come forward. Maybe you made that decision before you had communion and you never told anybody. I want you to come. And it doesn't matter what it is. I want you to come and we'll pray with you. We'll anoint you with oil, which is symbolic of the Holy Spirit. And you can walk away today and live the rest of your life knowing that the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, and you can live a different life possibly than you're living now. So Pastor Randy, just lead us. I want you to come from the balcony, come, just come, and we're going to pray with you. If you have that need to have that life inside of you, we had a bunch of people pray for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We'll pray for you that you can receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We'll pray for you for whatever you need. Please just come.